Please take your Bibles and turn with me in them first to the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalm 72, beginning at verse 8. This is found on page 616, the Bibles that are there in the seats, page 616, Psalm 72. We'll read verses 8 through 11. Then we'll also read from the New Testament, and we'll focus especially on our New Testament reading. But children, as we read in the Psalms here, keep in mind where you read about kings, kings coming. Psalm 72, beginning at verse 8. Congregation, hear now God's holy word. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him. All nations serve him. Then let us turn over to Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18. This is found on page 1026. 1026. Matthew 1. We'll begin reading at verse 18 and we'll read through verse 12 of chapter 2. Our focus will be on verses 10 and 11 of chapter 2. But we'll begin reading verse 18 of chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Our text takes us back to verses 10 and 11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As far the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, this morning is Christmas Day, the day when we celebrate especially the birth of Jesus. And as we've been singing songs related to Christmas over the past few weeks, you notice something. Almost all of them praise Jesus as King, as Lord, speak of him in those terms, ruler, conqueror, one of David's line. And it's perhaps the office of King, Jesus as King, that comes out most at Christmas time. Jesus is our eternal King. Of all the other kings in the Bible, Jesus is the greatest. What ought then to be our response to this King, to this King of Kings? Well, the wise men from the East, they show us by their example. Worship. Worship. As I proclaim to you on this Christmas morning, worship Christ the King. First, we want to consider this King, Jesus. He is a King of Kings, a King of Kings. Now, in our Advent series, we've considered four leaders in the church's history: Moses, Saul, David, and Nehemiah. Well, how does Jesus differ from them? Well, by this time, when Jesus was born in the history of God's covenant people, there were expectations, hopes, promises from God about the coming leader of his people. Moses, he served as God's people were being organized into a nation, brought out of slavery, brought formally into covenant with God at Mount Sinai. Then later, Saul, King Saul, he reigned as God was working more structure in the promised land within the nation of Israel. He should have conquered the pagans. He should have exercised justice and equity for the people of Israel. But Saul, we saw, he failed. Well, God used David to fulfill those expectations in which Saul failed. But then with David, God introduced more expectations, more hopes of a king yet to come, who would build a house for the Lord in which God would be worshipped, who would reign over all the earth. And we know that the kingship of David failed, being conquered by foreign empires. But God's promises, they never fail. God raised up Nehemiah to grant hope to God's people that God still loved them, that God was still working out his plan of salvation in the earth for the world. And so we come this morning to Jesus and his birth. Now, Jesus, as we read, was born to the Virgin Mary. Although he was not begotten by Joseph, he was adopted by Joseph. Joseph, a descendant of David, was his adopted father. And Jesus then fulfilled the expectation of the church, fulfilled just one of God's many promises, that someone from David's line, one of David's descendants, would sit on the throne, and would be king over God's people, would be king, as the Magi, the wise men, said, king of the Jews. But the world around Jesus was not Jewish. The Jewish people at that time were very small, very weak, concentrated in the land, Palestine. It was the Roman Empire that ruled in those regions. Now, Jesus might be king of the Jews, but that would mean little to the king, the emperor in Rome, Caesar Augustus. More than that, Jesus, he was born of an unknown woman from a backward community of Nazareth. Then some lineage that had fallen on hard time. Jesus, he had no background, no status. He had no connections. He had nothing that would cause the kings of man's empires to bow before him. When the Magi came to Herod, Herod had no idea who they were talking about. See, there was no connection to the existing rulers. And the manner in which Jesus was conceived and born, that cast suspicion on him. Joseph himself realized that. Joseph was considering divorcing Mary when he found out she was pregnant because he knew he was not the father. It did not make sense in an earthly way of thinking that this child would be God's chosen, would be King of Kings. Didn't we see in our series that Moses, he was born special. It was obvious. He was a beautiful child. Saul, he was a head taller than everyone else, a mighty warrior. David, even as a shepherd, he was a mighty warrior. Nehemiah, he was cupbearer to the king, connections. Jesus had none of that. And whether it was Joseph who had those thoughts or anyone else throughout the world in the other empires who would have those thoughts, looking at Jesus with earthly eyes, the conclusion was the same. He is no King of Kings. But God is not concerned with an earthly way of thinking, with an earthly way of viewing reality. And God used a star in the sky to draw some men away from an earthly way of thinking. He used the rising of a star to alert some that something marvelous had happened. That God, the creator of all, the governor and ruler of all things of earth, of space, God used the star to wake some men out of their earthly slumber, to realize a king had been born. Wise men from the east saw something in the sky. We don't know scientifically exactly what it was. They saw something that alerted them to view things not as earthly eyes would see and reason, but as God in heaven intended them to be seen. God also used the star in the sky, a real star, as a picture that man must not think in an earthly way of this King of Kings. Recognizing the greatness of this king, it's not something that can be done with so-called wisdom from below, from our natural way of thinking. But this child is a great king. Greater than Herod, who ruled over Israel at that time directly. Herod, who was of Esau's line. Jesus was a Jew. Even more than that, he was the house and lineage of David, the great king. But even more, this child Jesus, this baby in the manger, is greater than any mere man. For he is the very Son of God. And in our celebrations, congregation, never forget, this child is the Son of God. Here's what mankind has needed since the very first man, Adam, sinned. Since God expelled sinful man from paradise, from his presence. Since sinful man was imprisoned under sin, Satan, and death. A mighty Savior, a powerful King. God himself come to live among us, as we read in chapter 1. Emmanuel, God with us. Come to rule, come to save. Here then is something truly to marvel at. Did the wise men grasp all that? Probably not, because they just referred to the King of the Jews. Well, it's clear they respect this child as a king, a magnificent king, significant. But they did not call him the Son of God. And the star could not tell them the deepest reality of this child, that he is God himself. But what the star cannot tell, God in his word has. The Son of God came down and took our nature upon himself. And he did so for the very purpose of defeating sin, Satan, and death. He came down with a mission to set us free forever from our captivity. Congregation, here is God come to us. Here is Emmanuel, God with us. Now it's fitting that this King of Kings then would be worshipped by these wise men, who in some traditions, as the song, perhaps you've sung it this season, are considered to be kings. As we read in Psalm 72, verse 11, kings fell down before Jesus, worshiping him. They were, these kings, these magi, these wise men, began outside the Roman kingdom, a rival kingdom. Yet they came to Jerusalem, searching for this King of the Jews. Little did they know who truly was before them, Son of God, Jesus. Congregation, that's the deepest identity of this child born on Christmas Day. He is human, yes, truly, really human. But he is also God. Because he is God, worship Christ the King of Kings. That's what the wise men from the east did, as we read. They worshiped him. It is what you and I are to do as well, by God's grace. And as we come to this King of Kings, acknowledging him as our King, well, then we also can do what these wise men did and rejoice. We move to that in our second point, that this King, he brings joy. King bringing joy. Now, the wise men, they made their long journey from one empire to another empire, again, rival empires. They risked crossing not only the desert, but also a rival kingdom in search of the King of the Jews. Apparently, they knew that Jerusalem was the center of Judaism. For although they knew that the King of the Jews had been born, they did not know exactly where. They went there and asked, "Where is he?" And there they were not disappointed, ultimately. But they had to take a detour, because no one in Jerusalem was aware. No one there knew. Again, there weren't the connections. No one knew where the newborn king was. But after investigating God's word, the Old Testament prophecies, the wise men were directed to the Jewish city of Bethlehem, just a few miles from Jerusalem. They traveled there. And the star guided them. And it guided them right to the place where they were. As we read in verse 9, it went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. Not at the wonder of the star itself. It was a miracle. We would be amazed at that. Anyone would. But it was not at that. It was where the star had brought them, to whom the star brought them, the King of the Jews. Their search, their travel was over. They had arrived. Here he is. And they rejoiced. In congregation, we often rejoice in this season, don't we? But why? Why do you rejoice? Do you rejoice, children and young people, because of the gifts you open? Do you rejoice, parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, because you look around and you see family? Now, God gives us many blessings, and we are to be thankful for all these blessings. They come from the Lord. But if your joy is rooted in gifts or toys or electronics or even family, it will fade. And as the gift wrapping paper is thrown away, as the toys lose their newness, as family members say goodbye, as death takes our family members one by one, so too, if that is the source of your joy, it will disappear. And that's how it always is in the things of this life. Many blessings from God, yes, that's true. But in this life, all these blessings pass away. Even as the journey of the wise men completed itself, and they found the one who was the reason for the mysterious star in the sky, the mystery was solved, they had to leave. What will you do when these earthly joys pass away? Perhaps you get depressed around this time of year. Maybe you have a great emptiness. Some people try to come up with a feeling of nostalgia. Some try to do all they can then to drown their sorrows, to cover them over, so they don't have to face reality, face the emptiness, the pain. You see, there's nothing firm and lasting. Friend, what about you? On what is your joy based? What do you hope to have joy based on? Well, this Christ child, this one who was born King of the Jews, he brings joy. And he does it more than simply being the reason for some amazing star in the sky that wise men from the east can notice. He does it even more than being the presence of God himself with his people, although that is amazing. There were reasons why God exiled sinful Adam from his presence. And one of those reasons is that Adam would not have survived in God's presence, for God is holy. And his presence means destruction for sinners, for the wicked. And so simply having the presence of God in the form of man, that's not the only source of joy this morning. It will not last if it is. More is needed. Just like this child, for he did not stay in the manger, but he grew. He took upon himself all the duties and all the obligations that we have before the holy God. And he willingly did this. Jesus, who was King of Kings, voluntarily set aside the glory of his kingship and became a servant. And as servant, he fulfilled all the righteousness that God requires of man. He served, even to the point of offering his own self as a sacrifice to pay for sins. He would go on from this manger to shed his blood in the place of sinners, in the place of his people, as we read. And by his voluntary sacrifice, by laying down his own precious, perfect, righteous life in our place, he has reconciled us to God, all those who trust in him. He has conquered our greatest enemy, sin. And on the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead, and he conquered another enemy, that of death. That's the good news, people of God. And in this, there is joy. Joy that our sins have been paid for. Joy that death has been conquered. The sins have been paid, the death has been conquered. For all those who trust in Jesus, who belong to him, trust him and rejoice. For this king brings joy. Joy that lasts. For although we sin every day, we believers, we are far from perfect, are we not? We are great sinners still. Our sin will never again bring down God's wrath upon us. So our joy lasts. Our joy lasts because even though if the Lord does not come first, we will die, he will raise us from the dead into everlasting life. Here is true and everlasting, lasting joy, congregation, for all those who believe in Jesus. Therefore, entrust yourself to him always. Children, don't look for lasting joy in those toys. Enjoy them, use them to the glory of God, share them with your siblings and friends and those who don't have. But don't look to them for joy. Don't look to family, possessions, pleasures, relationships, work, money. Look away from all those things and look for joy and happiness in Christ alone. Because he died for sinners. Because he has supplied the righteousness we need to live with God, the source of all joy and life and peace. Do that by God's grace, and you can rejoice. Having joy with you that counters the sadness that comes in this world, sadness of broken toys, sadness of broken relationships, broken health, broken spirits. You can have joy in the midst of all that brokenness, because in Christ, believer, you are right with God. You can rejoice. So this king who is King of Kings, this king who brings rejoicing, there's one other thing that rounds this out that we see from these wise men this morning. And that is, as we move to in our third point, he is a king to be worshipped. Now the wise men from the east fell down and worshipped the Christ child. In that action of falling down, it's humility, isn't it? Acknowledging that the one before them, though a young child, was their superior. They were wise men, yes, but he was king. But they did more than fall down. They worshipped him. We don't know exactly what that involved. Probably not an animal sacrifice, but at least words. But their worship is seen in more than just words. Think of that. They traveled many miles. They took a lot of time in that day to do this travel. They risked their own necks. Not simply to acknowledge that a king had been born. They could have done that back in the east. It was an offering of themselves. And that is a high form of worship. Words, yes. Singing wonderful songs, yes. But words spoken in a context of a life lived for him. With their words, with their effort, they also gave gifts, didn't they? Gifts that spoke of the kingship of this child. The giving of these valuable gifts represented the wise men's profession that this child is over them, owns them, and all the riches that they possess. And so it is to be with you and me, congregation. We are to worship this child who is no longer a child. Oh, we don't need to go on some great earthly pilgrimage to the Middle East, but we are to give of our time, our effort to appear before him. Now Christ is no longer bodily on this earth. But every time worship is called, Christ is present. We are brought into his very presence by the Spirit. We can't see him. It's by faith. He is present, and we are to appear before him. How much we can learn from these wise men from the East. They were wise, and yet how often aren't we so foolish? Because we don't often appear before Christ and worship him. We don't have to travel hundreds of miles. We just have to arrange our schedules. But then also Christ says, as you do kind things to the least of these, my brothers, you do it to me. Again, no expensive gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh that we have to give. Even a cup of cold water given in his name. All this ties in to how we are to live as his people. How we are to come and appear before Christ, come and worship him. Don't come merely out of tradition. Don't come merely out of show. Come with a heart to worship. A heart changed by God, by this great Savior. To appear before this great King, before the one who has conquered sin, Satan, and death, and now causes you to share in his victory. For we think of worship as we appear here in his presence. He gives us gifts. He blesses us, not with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He blesses us with grace, mercy, and peace. He brings to us, as we trust in him, the blessings, the riches he has acquired by his death and resurrection. Blessings, riches from the great King given to us, lowly servants, as we cast ourselves on him, on his generosity, his blessedness, his grace. Congregation, cast yourself upon Jesus. True worship is abandoning ourselves and recognizing the glory of the one who is worshiped. True worship is not just trying to get an emotional high or feeling of nostalgia, but seeking to be truly blessed, to have our faith strengthened, to receive grace, mercy, and peace, and being refreshed to sing his praise and to go forth and to serve, to love God, to love our neighbor. Again, we don't offer to Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We are to offer our whole self. In every activity, every thought, every second. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. To offer your hearts to God promptly and sincerely. And to love your neighbor as yourself. And so, congregation, do not cease worshiping God at the end of this service. Go forth to live all your life for him, trusting him, loving him. Worship Christ the King. He came and he gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Therefore, worship him. Worship the King who is no longer newborn but exalted on high, living, reigning over all, who will come again. And as you do that, as you live by faith to the glory of God, have a Merry Christmas. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing that you send your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that you have come to rescue us, for we cannot work salvation from our own. We need salvation. Our sins cry out against us. They bring wrath upon us, death, brokenness. But you have sent your Son to bring righteousness and life, and he has done it. He alone by his life, death, and resurrection. And so, O Lord, strengthen our faith. And where there is no faith, create it, O Lord, faith in Jesus, to lay hold of him and all his riches, and to go forth to share these riches with others, telling them of this king and serving them, and doing it as unto this king. And may you receive all the praise, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.